This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League. Here's your host, John Keane.
The 2025 WHL playoffs presented by Nutrien are well underway, and we'll have a playoff update on some of the great first-round series coming up in moments. The Calgary Hitmen are the first team through to the second round. They took care of the Saskatoon Blades in four straight, and Hitmen head coach Paul McFarland, he'll join us in moments to discuss the series win and moving on to round two. An emotional return for Medicine Hat Tigers goaltender Harrison Menegan. This after the passing of his father on the final day of the WHL's regular season. We'll have more on that. And it's WHL award season. Some of the nominees have been announced. We'll have that to close out the show. First up, the Calgary Hitmen, the first WHL team through to round number two after a sweep of the Saskatoon Blades. Their head coach is Paul McFarland. He joins us just as the team is ready to depart back to Calgary. First of all, Coach, congratulations on the series sweep. It's always nice to take care of things pretty quick.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, I did give our players all the credit, obviously. They're the one that have to play the game. So I'd like to tell, our consistency in this series, it's not easy to sweep any team for that matter. We had a lot of respect, obviously, for Saskatoon, so proud of our group.
You know, sometimes when there's a series sweep, the line is it was a lot closer than that. That maybe isn't indicative of the series, but when you look at the games as a whole and the four games, it was rightfully a sweep here to move on for the Hitmen.
Yeah, we liked our consistency, as I said, in the series. I think the nice thing for our team, I think we had different players in each game, step up and be the reason why we won that night. And so we know at this time of year, you need everybody, obviously. It takes everyone on your roster to contribute, and we're going to need certain players to step up their game and raise their level. And I think we got that from different players. And, especially for us in the first round, having Daniel Hauser be out, obviously Anders Miller deserves a lot of credit for his play. Coming in and being able to step up for our team in that situation.
Yeah, I'll ask you about that. You're right, Anders Miller was excellent in the series. Daniel Hauser, can you get him back for round two?
Yeah, we're hoping. I mean, obviously it's day-to-day right now, but the extra rest and not having to put him in later in the first round obviously gives him ample time, hopefully, to get his body feeling as good as it possibly can be. So we're hoping with a little extra time here that he's going to be ready to go for round two.
Now, you mentioned earlier that it was a different player or players every night that stepped up here for you. I look at the stat sheet. I see Ben Kindle had five goals in the series. But drop some names here for us, Coach. Who was really good in that opening round set?
Well, I mean, like anything, you're always going to need your best players to be your best players, right? And that's why, the line of Kindle, Talk, and Howe, I think that's been a line that's driven us, all year offensively. They did a really good job in that series. But I think you look at the effort from Ethan Moore in, the first few games and his ability to get on the score sheet and score some timely goals for us. And then even, the Adazinski line, probably a line that doesn't get enough credit. They're not always going to score goals for us. But at the end of the day, they play real, physical, hard brand of hockey, and a lot of nights have to play against the top people of the other team. And I thought all three of those players really raised their level in this series. And then, you look through, obviously, our lineup, I think we're built from the back end out. And I thought our defense corps did a really good job of shutting down the other team's best people over the course of the series, and then obviously still being able to contribute offensively.
You have about a week off or so, or a little over a week. You don't know your opponent just yet. So how do you use this week? I always find it fascinating how, teams use some downtime here before they ramp up for round two.
Well, today's a travel day for us. Obviously, as you said, we're coming home to Calgary today. We'll get an extra day of rest tomorrow, just to give the guys physically a little bit of downtime. Obviously, everyone's at this time of year physically taxed, regardless of how short the series is. So a lot of bumps and bruises that you go through to get to this point. So the extra couple days of rest will help us, I think. And then we'll have two really good work days this weekend, and then probably another day off the ice, where again, probably by that stage, we might know who our opponent is. And and then we'll have two really good practice days to get us ready, hopefully, for the next round. So we'll try to find a balance, I guess, between rest and then making sure that, obviously, we're still staying sharp and keeping our conditioning. And most importantly, I think this time of year, it comes down to just keeping your execution. So, and then with the puck, making plays, touches, and all those things. So that'll be a major focus for us over the next week.
Now, focus is always on your team here, but how interested will you be in some of these series going on? You could see Lethbridge in round two, which would be a great set. We'll see how it all plays out here, but are you going to be on Victory Plus, you know, checking out some of these playoff games here to wrap up the opening round?
Yeah, I'll definitely be watching the series, obviously, with Brandon and Lethbridge and the other games, quite honestly. Once you're in your series, I think you kind of just have tunnel vision on your own games. And I haven't seen a lot of the playoffs to date, but now that obviously we're moving on, we'll move our focus out to our next opponent. But I think we'll definitely be on the Victory Plus to enjoy the new app and make sure that we're taking in all the information we can to get ourselves ready for the next round. So at the end of the day, as you said, it's going to be more about us and us getting to our game, regardless of who we play. But we know it's only going to get harder for our hockey team as we move forward here. So we got to raise our level even further than we have in round one.
It looks like you'll bump up a seed here with the fact that you had the second most points in the Eastern Conference. You go back to that Sunday showdown you had on home ice against Medicine Hat and how that was for the division and for the number one seed. There could have been a bit of a hangover from that, from not winning that game, but it didn't seem like it mattered. I mean, you went to business right away in that opening round series.
Yeah, you know, I think our group did a really good job. When we talked about it right away after that game had ended, I mean, we did a lot of good things in that game. Anyone could beat anybody one time, obviously. And, I think both teams played a really high level of hockey in that game. But at the end of the day, I mean, you know, you don't play all year just to finish first in the conference in the regular season. I think the playoffs are going to be what matters. And so it wasn't hard for us to, quickly change our focus to Saskatoon in round one and knowing who our opponent is. And I think, like I said, our players deserve all the credit for me. They've done an outstanding job of really showing consistency for me, really over the last two or three months and how we played the game. And we've consistently tried to get better and grow and continue to improve in some of our areas. And I think, the product was out of the first round and how that all played out here for us. So we know, like I said, it would have been great to obviously beat Medicine Hat that day and finish first. But at the end of the day, it's everything in front of us, and we're excited about where we're at.
And finally, because I know you have to jump on the bus and head back to Calgary and the coach can't be the last one on. We know that rule for sure. So I just want to ask you on a personal note, your first year in the WHL, you've coached at other levels, other leagues. You've been a head coach GM in the OHL, but this is your first taste of the Western Hockey League, your first series in a market like Calgary. How's it been here for you so far?
Yeah, it's been outstanding. I've really enjoyed, working with the players that we have. We have an outstanding, everyone sees obviously the on-ice product, but we've got some great kids that are just, you can just definitely tell they've been raised properly by their families, and they've been a real enjoyment for all of us as coaches to work with. And then on the organization side, just, our management team, obviously, Mike Moore, Gary Davis, and Cass Bruni, it's been an outstanding group to work with, along with our coaching staff and support staff. So I've been really fortunate. I think I thought I was making the right decision coming to the Calgary Hitmen and the organization of, CSIC, and obviously being here to see how well we're treated with the Hitmen and how they really give us every resource to have success as an organization. So it's been a great, great thing to be a part of. As far as, being a part of WHL, it's just been outstanding. Obviously, I think the CHL and the WHL, it's one of the best development leagues for me in the world for any young hockey player trying to that aspires to get to the next level. So it's been great to be a part of. I definitely have more appreciation I've heard it for years, how it's a little tougher in the Western League with the travel, and I definitely have a little more appreciation for that, having gone through it, being more of an OHL guy growing up. But other than that, it's been a great experience, and just enjoyed my time.
Okay, Coach, hey, enjoy the week. It is always, rewarding to kind of have your feet up and watch the other series kind of play out. And I know you're hoping for some long series and some double overtimes there perhaps as well. So enjoy the round one win and good luck in round two.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
From the drop of the puck to the Edge Chanel Cup, this is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
Meanwhile, we had a couple of Wednesday night overtime in the WHL playoffs. In Swift Current, the Medicine Hat Tigers found the winner after a back-and-forth affair.
Stretch pass, and Hunter St. Martin on a break to win. Backhand, he scores! Hunter St. Martin, he stays in the play, and the breakout pass works. And the Tigers will win it on the road in overtime and a chance to move on to round two on Friday night.
That was Gino DiPaoli on the call. The series now heading back to Medicine Hat, where the top seed has a chance to advance, holding a 3-1 lead. And one overtime wasn't enough in Portland between the Winterhawks and Prince George Cougars. To double overtime now at Veterans Memorial Coliseum. Nick Merrick on the call.
Finally able to secure it. Home run pass off the wall. Bouncing in front. Scores! Diego Bonazzoni! What a ending! Game four! Portland survives 5-4 over the Cougars!
The Winterhawks building a 3-1 series lead thanks to three straight wins. In Edmonton, the Oil Kings building a 3-1 series lead over the East Division champion Prince Albert Raiders thanks to a 3-2 win Wednesday. Oil Kings forward Gavin Hodnett with a goal and an assist in the Game 4 win.
Obviously, when you win, it's awesome. It's a great feeling. But I think, when we leave the rink today, it's about putting this one behind us and looking for Game 5.
Oil Kings coach Luke Pierce has his team in the driver's seat, finally scoring on some chances against the Raiders.
Yeah, that was big. I think at some point with the volume we've been accumulating, I think it was you're going to get rewarded at some point. He's a fantastic goaltender, there's no question. And but over time, I think we deserve to get a couple breaks, and we got those today, which came when we needed them because we weren't at our best.
The series now shifting back to PA for Game 5, forward Gavin Hodnett.
Yeah, it's a tough barn to play, and obviously they're a really good team in that barn. It's always tough, but I think the fourth one's always the hardest to win, so we're going to be competing and try to win that one.
You're listening to the WHL This Week, Radio Edition.
The WHL's regular season ended on a heart-wrenching note for Medicine Hat Tigers goaltender Harrison Menegan and his family. His father, Derek, passed away unexpectedly on March 23rd. Menegan returning to the Lower Mainland with his family, but then opted to return to the Tigers for the start of the postseason. Now, the 20-year-old would post a 21-save shutout in what was his first game back to open the WHL playoffs to the end of game number one.
That one's for Derek. 4-0 Game 1 victory for the Medicine Hat Tigers. Harrison Menegan, an unbelievable testament to the human spirit. 5 days removed from the tragic passing of his father, gets a shutout here in front of the Medicine Hat faithful. His first career playoff victory, and Harrison Menegan understandably overcome with emotion as he's swarmed by his team in the crease. That says it all.
Was Will Bryant on the call, voice of the Tigers. Now the story catching the attention of Elliot Friedman on his 32 Thoughts podcast.
I did want to shout out Harrison Menegan from Medicine Hat. Mm. He went through a really, really hard situation. His father, Derek, was at one of his games in Calgary a week ago. And Derek, unfortunately, had a heart attack, and he passed away. Just awful for the family. Harrison Menegan came back last week before game one of the playoffs. Medicine Hat is playing Swift Current. And Willie Desjardins, the coach, said post-game that he wasn't going to play him. And Menegan asked to start. And so he started game one. He had a shutout. He won game two with Medicine Hat 6-3. There's no right or wrong answer in these situations. Some people need time. Others say, you know what? The ice or the court or the field is where I feel most comfortable. A great moment in very difficult times, just showing the intestinal fortitude as he did.
Menegan would go undefeated through the month of March, going 8-0 with a 1.87 goals against average and a .931 save percentage, along with two shutouts to help Medicine Hat earn the number one seed heading into the WHL playoffs. He has been named the WHL Goaltender of the Month for March. Congratulations. Meanwhile, his teammate forward Gavin McKenna has been named the WHL Player of the Month.
Right side, McKenna, shot, scores! Gavin McKenna's got a two-goal third period, and the Medicine Hat Tigers have a 4-2 lead.
Those two goals to cap the regular season on a Sunday in Calgary help clinch Medicine Hat the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. This is the third time McKenna has captured the monthly award this season, in addition to three weekly awards. McKenna paced all skaters with 10 goals and 22 assists for 32 points in 7 games, helping the Tigers go undefeated during the month. The projected top pick in the 2026 NHL draft tallied 3 or more points in each game, highlighted by a career-high 7-point night, 3 goals and 4 assists in a 7-3 win over Red Deer. McKenna was only held off the score sheet 3 times in the WHL's regular season. He would finish second in the scoring race with 129 points in 56 games.
22 teams, one goal. This is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
The Western Hockey League has started to name the finalists for the upcoming 2024-25 year-end awards. The unveiling process began with the WHL's first and second All-Star teams. In the Eastern Conference, the first All-Star team included Prince Albert Raiders goaltender Max Hildebrand, defenseman Tanner Molendijk of the Medicine Hat Tigers, defenseman Noah Chadwick of the Lethbridge Hurricanes, forward Gavin McKenna of the Medicine Hat Tigers, and two Calgary Hitmen forwards in Oliver Tulk and Ben Kindle. The Western Conference first All-Star team included two members of the Spokane Chiefs, forward Andrew Crystal and Berkeley Catton, as well as defenseman Tyson Jugnauth of the Portland Winterhawks, his teammate Kyle Chizowski up front, and goaltender Scott Ratzlaff of the Seattle Thunderbirds. The second All-Star teams were also announced. In the East, goaltender Daniel Hauser of the Calgary Hitmen and teammate defenseman Carter Yakimchuk, defenseman Luke Shipley of the Brandon Wheat Kings, plus forwards Braden Yeager of the Lethbridge Hurricanes, Oasis Wiseblad of the Medicine Hat Tigers, and Grayson Souchin of the Edmonton Oil Kings. The Western Conference second All-Star team included Prince George Cougar teammates Joshua Ravensbergen in goal, defenseman William Kmetz, as well as defenseman Justin Kipke of the Victoria Royals, forward Carter Bear of the Everett Silvertips, Emmett Finney of the Kamloops Blazers, and Shea Van Olm of the Spokane Chiefs. Congratulations. The first group of award finalists have been announced, starting with the WHL's Business Award, presented annually to the WHL club that best exemplifies giving back to the community and producing an electrifying game day experience for fans. The nominees in the Eastern Conference include the Edmonton Oil Kings, Lethbridge Hurricanes, and Saskatoon Blades. While in the West, the conference finalists include Everett Silvertips, Portland Winterhawks, and the Spokane Chiefs. The nominees for the Doug Wickenheiser Memorial Trophy are out, the award presented annually to the WHL's Humanitarian Player of the Year. In the East, three nominees, including goaltender Evan Gardner of the Saskatoon Blades, Max Hildebrand of the Prince Albert Raiders, and Shane Smith of the Lethbridge Hurricanes. The Western Conference nominees include Riley Hyde of the Prince George Cougars, goaltender Jaden Krause of the Victoria Royals, and Kyle McDonough of the Portland Winterhawks. Award nominations will continue, with the award winners being announced from Tuesday, April 22nd through Wednesday, May 7th. Hey, that's the show. Now we'll see how the rest of the opening round plays out. Stay tuned. I'm John Keane. We'll talk to you next week.